This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Dr. Farhan Abdulaziz, a frontline emergency physician with a lifelong passion for the Islamic sciences and a love of cats, which gives him the nickname Abu Huraira. Dr. Farhan Abdulaziz was born and raised in Michigan, and from an early age had been in pursuit of sacred knowledge. As a dedicated volunteer and student at Al-Maghrib, he followed his passion between his studies and medical career to learn Arabic and Tajweed in Egypt while continuing his academic rigor through the local institutes and teachers in the U.S. Having led numerous of our Umrah groups as a spiritual guide, being an active part of our online annual Ramadan program, and most recently teaching his tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat, Dr. Farhan is another inspiring example of the student to instructor stories.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Over 30 surahs, over 130 times, we find the name of Musa alayhi salam mentioned in the Quran. The most frequently mentioned Nabi of Allah, despite not being considered, and they're all great, but not the greatest Nabi of Allah. Even after Prophet Muhammad, the scholars hold that Prophet Ibrahim holds that rank. Yet Prophet Musa is the one who is mentioned more than Ibrahim, more than our Prophet Muhammad, more than Nuh and all the other prophets. And so the question becomes, why? Why is it that Allah has emphasized in over 30 surahs the name of Musa alayhi salam? And what was it in his story, and what was it in his struggle, and what was it in the tyrant that he faced that required so much repetition and emphasis for our ummah today? And a lot can be said. 30 surahs summarized in 15 minutes. You can't really do it. But I wanted to pick on three themes from the life of Musa alayhi salam and his opponent Fir'aun, because you can kind of divide Musa's life into two halves. You know, his story with Fir'aun, and then a story after Fir'aun with Bani Israel. And so the first thing I wanted to share with you is what Allah emphasizes in the Quran about the nature of oppressive regimes, how they operate. Because these oppressive regimes are something that the ummah will face. They face the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and they continue to face until our time today. And so Allah gave us blueprints. Allah gave us examples of the greatest tyrant, Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu, he says, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. Indeed, Fir'aun exalted himself in the land, and he made his people subjugated, weak, and oppressed, and he divided them. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. He divided them. So you learn first, divide and conquer. Let's call this area of Egypt the East Bank, and this area, Gaza. Let's call this part, this town, and let's, you know what, actually, let's separate Isawiya from Silwad by putting in a settlement. Why don't we do that? For Egyptians only, no Bani Israel allowed. When you have classes in society, the lowest class that we're going to make is Bani Israel. The Egyptian class, they're a level higher. So we're going to split you up. We're going to split your towns up. We're going to divide them. And we're going to keep you down and oppressed. And that aspect of divide and conquer is something that we see again and again. Fir'aun adopted a very similar methodology that we see today of murdering babies. When he was told that someone from Bani Israel will rise up and take your kingdom, He said, then what we'll do is we'll kill all the baby boys. Now imagine being a mother in that time. Spies from his army, from his people, are keeping a lookout. Whoever is pregnant, whoever is found to be pregnant, they will be kept an eye on, tabs put on them. And the moment they give birth, if it's a boy, the baby is slaughtered. And this was something that repeated in the life of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was born in the year that the babies would be killed. So what happened was, year by year, any male baby would be killed. Until they realized, you know what, we're going to lose our workforce, the slave labor. And so what we have to do is keep 1 year alive, 1 year dead, 1 year alive, 1 year dead. So Harun alayhi salam was born in the year that babies would be kept alive. But the year Musa was born was the year that they should be killed. And later, when you fast forward in the life of Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun tells him that we will kill all the children of Bani Israel, emphasizing the children, not the males, not the women, not the elderly, but the children. You see, you find it interesting that, you know, as much as Israel has the ability to cut off food and electricity and medicine and all the aid coming into Gaza, and the blackouts have periodically happened, it hasn't been a complete blackout. We're getting images. We're getting scenes. We're getting videos of babies being murdered. Over 11,000 babies murdered. And it's almost as if that they want these images to get out. Why would you target infants? Why would you target children? Other than to break the spirit of the people, because the most vulnerable to a man, to a father, to a mother, is their children. You will do anything for your child. So why don't we let these images get out? Why don't we try and break the spirit of the people? Not just the Palestinian, but of the Ummah. Why don't we do that? But it's a tried and failed strategy from the past, and bi-idhnillah, it will fail again. And so brutality was a calling card of Fir'aun. Not just the murdering of babies, but crucifying his opponents. Allah says, when he told the magicians, فَلَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. He says, what? I am going to crucify you. So Fir'aun, one of the descriptions Allah gives of him is, وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. وَفِرْعَوْن ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ, the possessor of pegs. Pegs meaning what? What is that reference to? The scholars have difference of opinion. Some say it refers to one of the things he was known by, that he would crucify opponents. He would peg them to date palm trees and cut off one arm and cut off the other leg and let them bleed to death. Which is what he threatened the magicians who converted to Islam to do. But another interpretation is dhil awtad means, you know, when you set up your army, when the army is on the move and they set up camp for the night, they set up their tents and they peg their tents into the ground. And to give you an idea of the massive military operation of Fir'aun, Allah calls him the possessor of pegs. As if you were to look out into the distance at his army, you will just see rows upon rows upon rows of tents pegged into the ground. So he was known for brutality. And this was one of the things. Imprisonment, of course. Allah says, قَالَ لَئِنِ اتَّخَذْتَ إِلَٰهًا غَيْرِي لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْجُونِينَ. If you take a god besides me, I will make you amongst those who are imprisoned. So he would imprison people as well. Same tactics we find today. And of course, fear. The overarching idea is bring fear to the people. فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَىٰ إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ عَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ مِّن فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِمْ أَن يَفْتِنَهُمْ. Allah says that no one believed in Musa except for some youth amongst his people. And the scholars say they Bani Israel believed in him and some youth from the Egyptian the Egyptians themselves believed in Musa alayhi salam. But why did they fear? Why did they not believe? Because of fear of Fir'aun that he would put them to trial, imprison, torture, crucify, murder their family. Not just target the journalist, but target the family of the journalist. Not just target the physician, but target the physician's wife and the physician's children. Whoever it is, we will put you to trial. Fir'aun would also want to control the narrative. We learn from the story of Fir'aun and Musa that tyrants will try and control the narrative. He says that about Musa and Harun, قَالُوا إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ يُرِيدَانِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بِسِحْرِهِمَا وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمُ الْمُثْلَى. That these two magicians, Musa and Harun, alayhi salam, they want to get rid of your amazing lifestyle. They want to drive you out from your home. They hate us. They're coming for our freedoms. We hear these same slogans again and again. And also the tyrants will use whatever they can to buy influence. They'll set up an Egyptian Bani Israel political action committee. And they're going to pay off politicians and they're going to pay off people of influence and those with social media personalities. Say, we'll give you 5,000. Just post. Post against Palestinians and post pro-apartheid, pro-genocide. Post that. It's okay. Pro-Israel. Pro-Egypt. Pharaonic Egypt, huh? Okay, I love my Egyptians. just get out and use your influence. We will pay you handsomely when the magicians were brought. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ السَّحَرَةُ قَالُوا لِفِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّ لَنَا لَأَجْرًا إِن كُنَّا نَحْنُ الْغَالِبِينَ. Will you pay us well if we win, if we defeat Musa? قَالَ نَعَمْ. Yes, we will pay you handsomely. وَإِنَّكُمْ لَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. And you will be given close power, closest to me. Power, position, the like. You will be taken care of, don't worry. So the same tactics being used, but also we learn one of the overarching themes from the story of Musa is not just about the tyrants, but also about Allah's plan. And how Allah's plan may not always be what we perceive. And we just take two glimpses from the story of Musa, the beginning of his life and the end of his life. And both times you look at it from an outsider perspective and you see no hope. You see, there is no way out. When the mother of Musa gave birth, Allah commanded her, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ, to go ahead and breastfeed him. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ. Two commands. Breastfeed him. But when you are fearful for his life, when they discover him, because it's easier to hide your pregnancy than it is to hide an actual baby. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِ. Then throw him in the Nile River. Two commands, breastfeed and throw him in the river. Two prohibitions, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي, and don't fear nor grieve. And then two promises, إِنَّا رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We will certainly return him to you and we will make him from the messengers. SubhanAllah. So he's thrown in the river, and as the river is taking the body now, you know, the villages and towns, they're set up along the banks of water. That's where the source of livelihood. So subhanAllah, this casket is good. This little, you know, baby wooden carrier, whatever you want to call it, is flowing through the Nile River, passing by all these homes and towns. And where does it land? It lands at the doorstep of Fir'aun's palace. Now from the outsider, you're looking, okay, that's it. Khalas, this baby is done for. But subhanAllah, Allah wanted it that Musa would be raised in the home of Fir'aun to see the tyranny and the oppression and the violence and the true nature of this man for what it is. And then you fast forward to the end of his life. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that subhanAllah, when Fir'aun, just imagine the power he's feeling when Bani Israel left at night. فَأَسْرِ بِعِبَادِي لَيْلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُتَّبَعُونَ. You will be followed. Musa goes out with his people. And Fir'aun is told and he gathers his army. And Allah says, فَأَرْسَلَ فِرْعَوْنُ فِي الْمَدَائِنِ حَاشِرِينَ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَشِرْذِمَةٌ قَلِيلُونَ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَنَا لَغَائِطُونَ. لَغَاهِظُونَ وَإِنَّا لَجَمِيعٌ حَاذِرُونَ. Allah says that Fir'aun sent people out to the towns to gather the people, and he says that this is a small band, Bani Israel, a small group. And they have enraged us. They've caused us much anger. And we will be very cautious, but we will pursue them. So what happened? So what does Allah say? So he gathered the army and they set out. Fir'aun ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ, massive army. And Allah says, فَأَخْرَجْنَاهُمْ مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. We expelled them from their gardens and their springs. Fir'aun thought, he's taking his army out. Let's call all the reserves. We have to finish this problem once and for all. We can no longer live in a state of fear. We can no longer worry about attacks from these people, these barbaric people. So we will finish them once and for all. And they took out the army. But Allah says, no, you didn't take them out. فَأَخْرَجْنَاهُمْ, we took them out. And we know what happened to their army. So even when they got to the point of thinking they're going to be defeated, we learn what Allah did. And so the last lesson I want to theme from the story of Musa I want to share with you is that we have to grow in our faith and strength. It is a progression. Musa alayhi salam was taken on this progression as well. When he first received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى, Allah told him, throw your staff. And so when he did, رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌ, he saw it like a massive serpent. What does Allah say? وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. Musa turned around and he began running for his life. He didn't even turn back to look at it. He just literally took off and ran away. And Allah says, يَا مُوسَى أَقْبِلْ وَلَا تَخَفْ. Musa, it's okay, come back. Don't be afraid. إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ, you will be amongst those who are safe. And then you fast forward in his life and you go to when Musa was told to go back to Fir'aun. He says, رَبِّ إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يُكَذِّبُونَ. Oh Allah, I'm afraid that they're going to disbelieve in me. And he says, وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ. And I am afraid that they're going to kill me. Musa felt this fear, but Allah again reassured him, إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ مُسْتَمِعُونَ. When he meets the magicians in that famous meeting, Yawm al-Zina, on a day of a festival, when all of Bani Israel and all of Egypt, they all come out to watch this festival, there was a showdown, a throwdown, a battle between Musa and the magicians. How many magicians? Al al-aqal, at the least 70 magicians, up to 15,000, depending on the narrations you read. Let's just say 70 magicians on one side, the most powerful magicians, and Musa alone with Harun alayhim as-salam. And when they threw their staves and they became like snakes, saharu ayun an-nas, and the eyes became bewildered by their magic, Allah says, فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. He felt fear again. And Allah told him, don't be afraid. You see, Musa went through these stages of fear and apprehension and anxiety and stress and not knowing what's going to happen until finally, after going through this tarbiyah, we come to the final moment. When at the Red Sea, his people are there and they're gathered and they're pushing and they're pushing and there's nowhere to go. The army of Fir'aun is behind them and the Red Sea is in front of them. And when they saw the army of Fir'aun, they said, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ, we are certainly going to be overtaken. It's going to be a bloodbath, as Fir'aun is known for doing. At that moment, when Musa has most right to be afraid, he grew his strength, his iman, his tawakkul, all of this has kept going up and up and out throughout this journey. He says, Kalla, in full confidence, Inna ma'ayya rabbi sayahdeen. Indeed, Allah is with me and he will guide me. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand from this story, among the many lessons, despite what we see from their tyranny, that yes, they will promote Islamophobia and Palestinian phobia, but a greater danger to you and I is an Islamophobia phobia. If we are paralyzed by our fear, if we aren't willing to stand up to raise our voices and to do whatever we can in whatever capacity we can. When Musa crossed the sea, he took his staff and he was hitting the ground, so it comes on them, but it wasn't coming on them. The sea wasn't crumbling on them. Why? Because Allah had a different plan. Allah wanted to wait for all of the army to come in. But we have to strike the water. We have to do our part. And when we do our part, Allah will bring victory. If we keep our promise to Allah, if you help Allah, in tansurullah, yansurkum, Allah will help you. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum al-khayran. Wa akhiru al-hamdu lillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.